Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Beth Anderson from the Avalon Theater.
And we are talking about an awesome program you guys have for students to experience, let's say, other sides of American history by the movies. For instance, Hidden Figures. And we have Black History Month coming up, and this film shows a side that maybe they wouldn't read about in their textbooks, with these African-American women during segregation becoming these NASA scientists and crunching the numbers for John Glenn. Like, he wouldn't go into space without them checking his numbers. So I want to get into the program itself, but first of all, talk about why Hidden Figures is the perfect one to kind of talk about to start off here.
Right. So Hidden Figures is a fantastic movie that I recommend to everyone. It's based on a true story about three African-American women who worked in NASA in the early 60s, kind of at the dawn of the space race. And they were what was called calculators, because this was kind of pre-computers. And so all of these women and some men, too, were literally crunching the numbers that were needed in order to put people into space. And so the movie tells the story of three women. One of them, Katherine Johnson, is played by Taraji P. Henson. And she joins the team that is trying to put John Glenn into orbit and, more importantly, bring him back down from orbit.
That's the part they couldn't figure out, right?
Right.
They're
trying to figure out the math to make that work. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the most brilliant minds at NASA, but she has a hard time getting accepted into this team because there's never been an African-American or a woman doing this type of work. And some members of the team are not as accepting of her as they should be. And then Octavia Spencer plays Dorothy Vaughn, who is kind of the head of this computing group of women, but she can't officially be the supervisor again because African-Americans don't take those jobs. And she realizes that she's about to be out of a job because, in addition to the space race, the first IBM computer has just been delivered to NASA, which is going to be able to do all these math calculations much faster than people can do them. And so her character decides to train herself in computer programming and so that she can keep her job and keep her team in their job. And then Janelle Monáe plays a woman named Mary Jackson who wants to be an engineer. And though she has a sympathetic boss, she doesn't have the qualifications that she needs. And so she goes to court in order to be able to take classes at the white school to be able to become an engineer.
Now, you've touched on all three of them. Let's go back and hit each of them, some scenes that really stood out for each of their struggles. For Taraji's character, just this having to run across campus to use the colored-only bathroom.
Right.
It's done in a way where it makes you sympathize with it so much more because you're seeing how much it's actually impeding the NASA work. It's not, you know, it's going on during the civil rights movement, absolutely, but you almost see the real everyday effect of something as small as going to the bathroom or drinking coffee at the pot. You know, they put on different, you know, whites only label on it. I feel like it almost hits you at a gut level because you see those everyday ways that it impeded you.
Right, right. She has to go half a mile walking across the campus to go to the bathroom. And so she's gone for these stretches of time. And her boss, you know, ends up getting angry with her. And
Kevin
she
Costner.
Has to explain. Yeah. Yes, Kevin Costner. And I think she does such an amazing job with her expressions, responding to these little situations where she can't go into a meeting room and she can't get the latest information and
trying to get clearance.
Right. All these little things that, you know, you might take for granted as being part of a team that she can't take for granted.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And not only having to run across, but in heels in the rain. I mean, and bringing her, you know, her figures with her to do the numbers while sitting on the toilet. Like, it's like, man, think of all we could have accomplished if we weren't. And even today, if we weren't, you know, putting roadblocks up in front.
Right. Doing these amazing math calculations that most people couldn't even do anywhere.
Right. it's just a testament that she, you know, pushed through and literally knocking on that door, let me in, I need the latest information, I need clearance, or my calculations are obsolete before they're even done. So it's just an amazing story, and I'm so glad that the movie did it justice to these three women. You know, it's because a lot of biopics don't do the real life figure justice, but it really did. And her moment where she finally breaks down and has the outburst and she, you know, can't be polite about it anymore in the newsroom. It gives you goosebumps.
Right. And she just assumes that she's going to be fired. And so at the end of the speech, she picks up her things and walks out thinking that she's done.
Instead, Costner takes a sledgehammer or crowbar or something to the bathroom lights only sign. It was great. But in terms of Octavia Spencer, a couple scenes I remember stood out to me. One, she's in the library trying to research what it would take to learn the computer programming, because she has the foresight of seeing technology. You know, it goes on with our factory workers and everything. Right. It's a conversation we're all going on. You know, how technologies and machines are replacing humans. But in addition to that, just being in the library and the librarian saying you can't be in this section, you got to go over to the segregated section. She says, well, but they don't have the book that I need to learn to program the computers. So
she's just looking for a book. Her kids are quietly playing on the floor while she's browsing in the library, and she's told that she has to leave.
It's just unbelievable. And, you know, looking back, and you realize it really wasn't that long ago that you struggled to get a book.
Right.
The library's supposed to be the place of coming together and peaceful, and she just can't get a book. But talk about, you know, almost the foresight that her character had to realize that, you know, we're going to be out of jobs. Humans are going to be replaced by IBM. So I'm going to take initiative and get ahead of that curve and be the one that knows how to program these suckers. So it was almost, she's like the Imitation Game here, man. She's programmed the computer.
Right, and it's kind of a running joke through the movie with the IBM. They can't get it working. In fact, when it's delivered, it doesn't even fit into the room because no one thought to measure the computer and the doorway.
They're massive.
Yeah. And, you know, she walks in and sees this thing and says, you know, this is the future and I have to learn how to do it. And she trains herself and gets her team trained too. And I think one of the great scenes is when she's assigned to the group and she says, you know, no, I'm not going to go unless all of my team members can come with me because you need all of us.
Right, sort of sticking up for everyone else that got her where she was too. And I think when she first walks into seeing the massive computer right away, she sees a wire and she goes, that's in the wrong place.
Right. And then the next time the men come in, they're like, hey, this thing is working.
It's actually spitting out the numbers. What? Yeah, right. So it's her story is just as amazing. And then you mentioned, you know, we have Janelle Monáe. What's her character that she plays?
Mary Jackson.
Okay. Take it back. And then you have Janelle Monáe playing Mary Jackson, who, like you said, you know, wants to be an engineer, but, you know, has to go to a judge in a courtroom to be able to attend classes. And I think he even says ultimately night classes. But I mean, to be the first black woman to be able to attend those classes was just a huge barrier that she broke down. And talk about how in that scene where she confronts the judge, how she almost, I think it's one of the most memorable scenes in the movie, but how she plays to his historic nature. And, you know, we all have to be a first. I saw that you were the first this and you were, you know, butters him up a little bit to say, don't you want to be the first again? You know, explain sort of how she almost out-strategizes him, how smart she has to be to do that.
Right. She makes a bunch of connections. She does a little research, and the judge was a Navy man, and he was the first of his family to go to college. And she points those things out and talks about the importance of doing things first and being the first. And she tells him that he can help be the first to make this happen. And she says, of all the decisions you're going to make today, you know, which one are people going to remember as being the first? And kind of gets in his head that, oh, you know, my name might live on if I make this decision, and appeals to that side of his nature.
And what does she say? She says, of all the cases, these little cases you're going to hear today, which one will make you like
a
legend?
Which one will be remembered?
Yeah.
And she also brings up that John Glenn is a Navy man. And so that, you know, naval pride kind of plays into the decision as well, I think.
There's lots of little subtle things. But honestly, it's that right there is a blue. I just view it as a blueprint for progress. She did her homework and found a way to make it seem like she was talking him up, but really got her own, you know, progress through. And when she comes out of that courtroom, She does like a little mini cheer dance sort of thing right. that you just can't
out
help.
In the middle of the street.
So many moments like that in this movie where you can't help but smile, including, you know, Mahershala Ali, you know, proposing to Taraji P. Henson and just her kids there and her mom there at the dinner right. table. So many human moments in this movie. It's just, I'd say, one of the most inspirational movies of the year, right?
I totally agree. I'm a mom. My daughter's in kindergarten. She's really into space right now. And I came out of this movie again going, my daughter is going to be the Katherine Johnson of today. You know, she is going to do the math calculations to get us to Saturn. And that's the kind of feeling that you right. have at the end of the movie is you want to go out and do the kinds of things that these amazing women did.
Awesome. So we've gushed all over the movie and deservedly, but explain how this movie fits into your program. You mentioned how your daughter, you know, sees this and wants to bring us to Saturn, baby. But talk about why this is important for kids to see.
Okay, well, so let me tell you a little bit about the Avalon. We're a nonprofit. We're the only nonprofit film center in DC. And part of our mission is to educate through film. And so for about 4 years, we've been doing this program called Cinema Classroom at the Avalon, which is a free screening discussion program that brings students into our historic theater to see films and engage in a discussion with a subject matter expert after the film. And all the films kind of have a social justice theme, talk about different periods of history. And Hidden Figures is a new film that came out that we didn't originally have on our schedule for this year. But when we saw it, we just thought, oh, this would be such a great film for students to see. And unfortunately, since it's new, we weren't able to offer it for free, but we had a couple of donors generously step up and offer to subsidize tickets for students to come see this film. And so students can come see it with their classes.
Who are the donors? Are we allowed to say?
I'm not allowed to say their names. Okay. They would like to remain anonymous.
Generous and the best kind, right? Because they're doing it for the right reasons.
Yes, we deeply thank them. because thanks to them, over 2,000 students have signed up to come and see this movie at the Avalon. And students from public and charter schools were able to get tickets for $3.
Wow.
And it's a great movie. It's a great story. It's a great piece of history that people don't necessarily know. And as we've already said, it's a great, inspiring movie.
And it's just, like you said, it's the history that people don't know. You might not find this in your text, but we all read about John Glenn and Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and all these people in our textbooks, but to be able to go see a movie and realize the Mary Jacksons of the world that, you know, that you might not have read about.
Right.
And especially, I was going to say if you're a young African-American girl, but if you're a young white boy, too, or whatever you are, children are, we are taught to see divides as we get older. We're taught to hate, you know, you're a clean slate when you're a kid. And so that's why I think it's so great to reach them at this age when, if we all as adults could learn to see the world through a child's eye like that too, we would be so much better off.
Right. And I think, you know, seeing things on film sometimes helps you experience things in a way that you don't think about it. We do evaluations of the students after every program. And so often we hear from students that say, you know, I never really thought about it this way, or I never really understood, you know, how bad things were or how much one person could change things. Mm-hmm. And so being able to come and see these inspiring films like these, I think, can really make a difference for students.
Yeah. What other movies do we have on the slate through this program?
Well,
because you're doing it throughout the year, right?
Yes. It's throughout the school year. We originally had 5 movies scheduled for this year, but we actually just received a grant from the DC Commission of Arts and Humanities to add 2 more films and cover transportation for students.
Wow.
So we've done 2 so far. Upcoming, we have Soundtrack for a Revolution, which is a great documentary about the civil rights movement as told through the music. And that's going to be on February 7th and 8th. Upcoming, we also have Chasing Ice, which is a documentary about global warming. A Better Life, which is a feature film about undocumented immigrants, kind of dealing with how to survive, you know, financially while being undocumented. We're showing Innocente, which is a great Oscar-winning film.
Local filmmakers,
Andrea and Sean Fine.
We did an event at the Avalon.
Yes.
They brought their Oscars and
yes. We
showed the movie.
Yes, they brought them a couple of times and I'm always really love looking at them. that's another film that's about a young girl who's an artist who is also from an undocumented family and growing up and sort of dealing with those struggles. And what else are we doing? The Brave Heart of Irina Sandler, which is a Holocaust drama, and Rabbit Proof Fence, which is a film that came out a few years ago with Kenneth Branagh about the Aborigines in Australia.
Wow. So they're going to get exposed to a lot of I mean, these are all topical issues that you've
mentioned.
Yeah,
great mix, like I said, of issues, lots of things about history. You know, there are a lot of different ways that students can learn, both from the content of the film itself. We also teach a little bit about filmmaking and how films are made. I think with our society becoming more and more visual every day, it's really important to understand how visual storytelling works. Mm-hmm. And that's also a part of the Common Core, which DC schools participate in, is teaching media literacy and being able to kind of critically think about film.
Yeah. Take me into, let's say if our listeners or our parents are they're hearing this interview on TOP and they say, that's awesome, my kid would love this and benefit from it. What sort of step do they take to sign up? How do they get involved?
Right. So we sign up through schools. Schools work with us and bring classes to the program. So if you're a parent and you're interested in this program, I would say go to your child's teacher or administration at their school and say, hey, the Avalon has this great program and you should reach out to them and
so
try
the
to set something
has to
up.
Contact you.
The school contacts us and we work with the school to set the date and the time and how the students will arrive.
But I'm sure is what can they bring to the principal or teacher to the school? Is there like a website they can say, here, look at this?
Sure. There's information online on our website, which is www.theavalon.org. There's a section of our website called Education, and in there you'll find all the information about Cinema Classroom. There's a list of the films and the dates and a contact information for Sarah Pekempner, who runs the program.
Awesome. You mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm curious more into the logistics of this because it's awesome. You mentioned that you provide transportation. Go into that.
Yes, that's something that we've been working on. The Avalon is up in Northwest DC near Chevy Chase, and it's not convenient for everybody in the city, although we have had schools from every ward in the city. But one of the things we're always working with is how to make that part of the program easier. And so, as I mentioned, we received this grant from DC Arts and Humanities, and we also have some other programs that can provide funding for people to get to the Avalon. So if there's a school that's interested and that's a holdup, you know, that's something that we can work with you with.
Which schools are involved? Are you allowed to say? Are you?
Well, we've had a lot. I'm not going to be able to remember them all.
But is it DC, Maryland, Virginia? Is it, or is it just DC, or what is it?
It's DC, Maryland, Virginia. Yeah. I think primarily they've come from DC, but any local school is welcome.
That's awesome.
Right, and we've had public charter and private schools all attend the program.
Awesome. Do you, how long, forgive me if you've already said this early on, how long has the program been going on?
This is the fourth year.
Okay.
We had a pilot and then we kind of officially started in 2013-14 school year.
Do you remember how that initial spark of that idea came up? Were you guys sitting around in a room saying, man, there's all these great movies that kids would love?
I think we had an opportunity with a film that arrived kind of like with Hidden Figures,
right,
where we were like, oh, this is a great film, and we brought in...
Do you remember what it was?
I don't. It was before my time, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. And, we'll look that up.
And from there, it kind of grew from there. And as I said, we are a nonprofit, and education is our mission, and so it was something that we decided to put, you know, some of our time and effort into and kind of got a task force going to get it rolling.
Do you remember, the first one was before you were there, but do you remember some of the movies that have played over those 4 years?
We've had a great lineup of movies. We have some that we kind of do every year.
Yeah.
Soundtrack for Revolution is one that comes back. We've done To Kill a Mockingbird, and there was a documentary called Hey Boo, which was related to the film.
I love that. Hey Boo. We talked to Robert Duvall about that, and he just said he got goosebumps in that scene, and that's how I knew that scene was working. But before we move off of Mockingbird, I was glad in the president's farewell address that he reclaimed Atticus, you know, because after the Ghost Said a Watchman thing came out, we don't even know if Harper Lee wanted that published because it was written before and then she basically rewrote it. But obviously you remember the controversy, Atticus was like a segregationist and then ultimately became the complete opposite of that and a champion of civil rights in the book and movie we know and love. But I don't think that was an insignificant act to mention that in your outgoing speech and quote him, you know, you got to climb inside someone else's skin and walk around in it.
That is such a great line. And I think that idea of walking around in the skin, I mean, that's sort of what this program is all about, is to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes by seeing it on screen.
Absolutely. Okay, sorry for that tangent, but is there any the other movies that played? I'm trying to think what else. So Soundtrack Revolution, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. Oh, we had another great one at the beginning of this season, which was A Brave Heart, the Lizzie Velasquez story. Mm-hmm. And it's about a young woman who, through a genetic disease, had a, you know, kind of disfigured appearance and was horrendously bullied in school and online and fought back and actually ended up going and testifying in front of Congress to legislate an anti-bullying bill.
Wow.
So just a really amazing set of films.
That's so awesome. So any others from past years that were kind of the Hidden Figures of their year?
Yes. The Hidden Figures is actually the second time we've done something like this. 2 years ago when the film Selma came out.
Great movie.
Yes, amazing movie. We did a similar situation where, again, we had some donors step up and subsidize the cost of the film and brought, I think we had about 1,700 students come in to see Selma.
Wow. That movie, I mean, I know it was up for Best Picture, but I remember being shocked that David Oyelowo wasn't nominated, and we actually talked to him last year, and he said that working with Ava DuVernay was his favorite director person in the world of all time. So, I mean, that movie was just amazing. So how did the kids respond to that?
It was incredible. You know, we showed it right around Martin Luther King Day, and, you know, it was just such a amazing recreation of that piece of history. And like you mentioned, his performance is just awesome.
Yeah.
It's a great film. Kids, I mean, they loved it. The reaction was fantastic.
It really was an amazing movie. It really was. I was with adults in the audience during that movie, and we gasped at the church bombing when the little kids were killed. How did the kids react to that?
There were definitely a lot of, you know, in the audience, and it was really stunning. Dead quiet. Sometimes with students, you know, it's not always quiet.
Right.
It was quiet.
They were just fixed on the screen.
Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
That's so great. I think what made that movie work was it took such a small, narrow slice of the civil rights movement, because a lot of biopics try to tackle too much and, you know, try to tell the whole story. And with King, God, you could have done I Have a Dream in 63 and, and, you know, Civil Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, on to his assassination. But I like that it picked just that moment in, what was it, 65 of passing the Voting Rights Act. I think that's what they picked, a small sliver, but within that it contained everything else from the movement they were trying to tell.
Right. And I think it really made all the characters, and especially Martin Luther King Jr., appear to be real people. You saw
your
all
flaws,
the things.
Yeah,
I mean, they weren't perfect, and, you know, there were behind the scenes going on, things going on, but, you know, they were people that were working together to do amazing things, but still people.
And that's, just like Hidden Figures, that's what makes it that much more inspirational, because you realize it's ordinary people doing extraordinary things. These aren't mythic gods. Like, in hindsight, we build them up. I mean, King, he's got a statue now. You know, in Lincoln, we have the statue. We build these people up, rightfully so, into these important, you know, monuments. But it's an important reminder that these were real people, and that each person that goes to watch Hidden Figures, goes to watch Selma, goes to watch any movie at the Avalon, can do these extraordinary things.
Right. And I think one of the great things in Hidden Figure, like Taraji P. Henson's character, Katherine Johnson, like, I don't think she thinks of herself as a brilliant mathematical mind. She's just someone who just wants to go and do the work that she loves and wants to have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, when I'm watching her in the beginning, look at all the shapes. I thought, what is that line in Good Will Hunting when he's like, how do you do these calculations? Like, I don't know. You know how Beethoven can just play the piano? I could always just play.
Right.
But that's her. She
sees
doesn't
things
know,
in a way that to her is totally natural.
And that is why we should remove all barriers of these stupid social clashes and barriers we have, because our brightest minds need to be allowed to shine. And thankfully, hers finally broke through, but very persistent on her part to make it happen. Anything else about the program we need to know, logistics-wise? You said $3?
$3 for Hidden Figures for students from public and charter schools. The screenings will be going on for the next couple of weeks. Right now we're doing two per week.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, our next official cinema classroom at the Avalon screening is February 7th and 8th for Soundtrack for a Revolution.
Do they come as a class with the teacher, or is it just select students, or how does that work?
Typically it's a class or a number of classes. We have had, you know, some smaller groups come as well. And all the screenings are at 10 in the morning, so students arrive and see the film, see the speaker afterwards. We have snacks that we provide during the program.
So it's just like a field trip.
Yeah, it's a day
at
the movies.
Just like going to the planetarium or something.
It's a day at the movies. And I think one of the things that's great, you know, I mentioned you're coming to the Avalon, which is, you know, it's the oldest still operating theater in D.C. So not only do you get to see the film, but you also get to see it in this historic movie theater that's been restored. And it's kind of a living piece of D.C. history as well.
That's the bonus of doing this.
Right.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in. The movies will live on and outlive all of us. And hopefully kids 100 years from now will still be watching Hidden Figures. So thanks so much for bringing it to light.
Thank you so much.